Welcome to Bush Footy Yarns podcast in isolation. And with us tonight, we've got a very well-known Group 11 identity in the form of Nick Naughty Wilson from Dubbo Sims. Now, Nick's a prolific premiership winner for the Dubbo Sims juggernaut this century and has recently been elected onto the Group 11 Management Committee. Welcome, Nick, and how's things going?
Hey, Billy Joe. No, things are very good. Doing me heading in boredom at home, and it seems to go from work to home, so not much happening at all.
Yeah, now, I don't know where to start. You've just been elected onto the management committee. That was a shock to a few. Was that something you'd always aimed at doing, or what led to that decision?
Oh, well, I sort of kept complaining about decisions that were made, and I wasn't happy with lots of things that had happened over the past, and I thought someone pulled me aside and sort of said, it's no good just complaining, get involved and do something. So now I'm out of coaching and that sort of thing. I'm only coaching my young fella. If they get to play footy this year, I thought now's the perfect time to put my hand up and have me two bods worth.
And what a time to put your hand up. How's it been? Can you tell us what the management committee, I suppose your hands are tied and you're following all government directions, but what's the talk been between the management committee regarding the 2020 season?
Well, I think the big thing we want from the clubs is as soon as we get the go-ahead from New South Wales Rugby League that we can start playing, we want to start playing football. I think there's plenty of other things to consider, though, is what sort of format we do it. I don't see any reason why we can't push the season back a little bit later. I think Nyngan would be the only club affected. They're the only club that has a cricket pitch in the middle of their home ground. Push it back a bit later and play more night games. And if we go too late into the sort of summer, maybe look at a Saturday night grand final. But I think the most important thing is that we try and get some footy on the oval if possible. It's no good, though, for our clubs in saying we're going to play footy but we can't have crowds there or anything like that. That'd be absolutely ridiculous. So the only way I see forward, and this is my personal opinion, not the Group 11 board, the only way I see playing footy is if we can have crowds there and clubs can have a generated gate and a canteen and a bar and things like that. So, but as Group 11 board, we do have something in the kitty there, so we're definitely not going to let it fall over altogether.
Well, that's good to hear, and it's a big shame, but look, we're in a pandemic, the coronavirus, but in hindsight, the year was building up. The talk for the Group 11 season upcoming was just, we had Alex Renane, he signed with Dubbo Macquarie. We had the Warner experiment out at Nyngan, but now Squeak Smith's taken over. Wellington trying to go back-to-back. Forbes, with the return of Jake Grace. Parks had recruited well, mainly with locals, and Jake Dooley from down at Wagga. It was building up a pretty good looking year.
I think it was going to be fairly close. I think Wellington were going to be strong again. I don't think there was any sort of weak links in amongst it there. So if we do have a shortened season, I don't think any club's going to be afford to be able to drop that one or two games or get off to a slow start. If you get off to a slow start, you're going to be in a world of trouble. I think the biggest signing that I'm looking forward to seeing would be Mitch Goddard out at Nyngan. I played footy with Mitch at Terrigal for 2 years, and I would have loved for him to come to Sins, but talking to him was just too far for him to travel. But I think he's going to be a real good signing for Nyngan. He's exceptional. He'll go out and make 50 tackles. He'll be creative from dummy half for him if he plays nine, or if he plays 13, wherever they play him at. I think, don't be surprised if he's probably not your Group 11 Player of the Year or something like that. I've got massive raps on Mitchie Goddard.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because I had a few people from up the coast tell me about Mitch Goddard, and they all spoke glowingly of him, as you do. So he was a good pickup for Nyngan, and he's gone a bit under the radar. You know, the likes of Jack Kavanagh coming back, and Jake Dooley and Jake Grace and Renane to Macquarie. Yeah, there wasn't so much talk of the Warners with the talk of Nyngan, and he slipped in unnoticed. And yeah, many people told me he's definitely someone to have some money on for Group Player of the Year.
Oh, mate, he's not only exceptional football, he's an exceptional bloke. So I'm looking forward to catching up to him. That's why another reason I'm hoping footy's on, and hopefully when Sims are playing Ningen, I'll be up on the hill and his old man might come up and bring back a few memories from me coastal days.
Yeah, so you had a, speaking of your playing days, you did have a short stint up there at, where was that, Terrigal?
At Terrigal, at the Sharks.
Yeah, the Terrigal Sharks, but Dubbo Sims, you were part of that juggernaut, that side that won four straight, and I think I've got it down. I think you've won 9 first grade premierships, is that right, or very close?
Yeah, it's close to 9. It's around that mark somewhere. I missed out on 04, done me knee, first game at Manildra 2004, ended up having a knee reconstruction. So, but I think it is. It could be 9. Could possibly be 9.
Yeah, what, it's hard to pick one, but what's one that stands out of those 9?
Oh, 2002 was pretty special at Forbes. I think the ones that, any sort of ones that we won away from home, I think were special, where we were probably underdogs.
Yeah. That was 2001, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty special. 2009 over at Parks.
No, that was 2011.
11 at Parks, was it?
Yeah.
2011 at Parks was pretty good too.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yous were down at half time and Cyclone Tracy, you was running into it, and Joey Williams put on 2 tries and kicked both goals in the last 6 minutes or something, and yous won the game.
Yeah. 2001 was special because of where we'd come from as a club.
Yeah.
It was our first premiership since 86. Sort of growing up a lot as a kid, while we were just known as the Battlers. We had a good year in 95. We made the grand final under Mick Dunn and Benny Williams. I remember that besides a ball boy there. I remember going to Cobar and beating Cobar at Cobar and sitting on the bus on the way home as a 14-year-old. And it was special. And then Dave Loxley came in 99, 2000. He coached us. When he got there in 99, he sort of brought a whole new attitude to the club. Fitness, he sort of changed the culture a little bit. And then obviously getting the likes of Justin and Bernard, and then the flow on just continued there. Wes Mars happened to come back to Dubbo. Josh Large came back, and it just seemed to, we just got lucky. I think we just had a really good run there, and
yeah,
sort of
I
changed the culture of the club a lot, and I think, yeah.
Yeah, very close to making the semis in 2000, and then after that she was, I think I won 2 games against Dubbo Sims in 10 years, and that was one for Manildra in 05, and when we played in that Foundation Fathers Cup up here in Parks, I was playing for Orange Sims.
Orange Sims, yeah.
But playing with your brother Bernard was quite funny, because you're the youngest of 4 or 5 brothers, is there?
Yeah, there's 4 boys, so another 3 brothers. I'm the youngest of the 4 of us, youngest of 7, so there's 4 boys, 3 girls in the family.
Yeah, right. And you're related to the Yos?
Yos, first cousins, so... very close to the O's. We sort of all grew up together. My mum and Kia are sisters, so Penny and Kia are sisters, so we sort of spent a lot of time with the O's, and we're pretty much just one massive family. So there's 8 kids in the O family, so I got to play football with all the O's and got to play football with all my brothers, so I've had a pretty good run.
Yeah, Bernard just went about his business pretty quietly, and it was funny because have you always played that villain sort of? It was like you wanted to be the villain. You'd walk out with your jumper out, your socks down, and you were the old fashioned front rower. Had dirty in you, but you always fronted back up, and I think you took a lot of the a bit of pressure off Bernard, because he used to just go about his business, and while everyone was trying to kill Nick, Bernard was just taking his forward. Was that ever a plan, or just the way it happened? That's how I saw it anyway.
That's the way it sort of panned out a bit. I sort of always knew I didn't have the natural ability or the talent of Bernard and different people like that, and I was never going to create a great deal or anything like that, so it sort of got to the point when I started playing first grade, I thought, if I can take some pressure off the others and everyone's trying to kill me, it means they're leaving someone else alone, and a lot of times it worked. A lot of time you'd have a hit up, you'd have four or five blokes trying to kill you. You'd end up getting decent play the ball and we could score a try off the back of it. So that was part of the fun. It was, it's funny, people talk about wanting to tackle in footy. I used to love taking a penalty tap. We just get to run into them and give everyone that opportunity to have a crack at you. So strangely enough, that was sort of my favourite thing, and that's probably what I'm missing most about footy, people trying to whack you.
Yeah, yeah, that's one thing I'll always say is you gave plenty, but there's lots of blokes that give it and then they don't back it up and run, but you always front it up. How have you found, because you're a very polarising figure and some people can't seem, they can't do the separation between the game and off field, do you think people treat you off the field how you are on the field?
Yeah, I do. I find that. I find it, you run into people, especially these days, who will come across here and say, I've always thought you're a dickhead and I've never really liked you, but you're actually not too bad. And I think my wife has to do a fair bit of explaining for me and justifying, give him an opportunity. He's not that bad a bloke. But I have found that a lot, especially... I still remember getting sin binned against Macquarie, and you got 70-year-old women yelling abuse at you and things like that. And then you come across them off the field, and they actually, you say hello to them and show a bit of courtesy and a bit of respect. And I think they sort of see a different side of me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on the field, I suppose we first started talking the spear tackle with Westside, and. Yeah, true to what everyone said, you weren't the fellow. I remember we had a little bit of a punch on when you smashed Aaron Watts there and got sent off at number one oval years ago.
But not guilty.
Not guilty, yeah.
Definitely not guilty.
Yeah, well, I'm doing a podcast later with Pete Townsend, and I call him not guilty because he I went to the judiciary there with him once, and he honestly convinced himself that... the broken nose was none of his doing. It was just his arm was there. But you had your fair share of time at the judiciary.
Yeah, I did spend a bit of time at the judiciary. I think I got judged a lot on what people thought of me when I went to the judiciary too. I think for me to ever get off a charge at the judiciary, it had to be blatant that I was not guilty. I think 9 times out of 10, if the camera didn't show anything and referee's report didn't sort of say it was that bad, I'd still get punished just on what people thought of me on the field from watching the game. But that's footy. That's sort of how I played footy. So I sort of put myself in that position. So I cop it on the chin.
Yeah. And the Sims Club, it's, well, like you said, you've been there through it all. Your father, he was he a member of the original side that won in 69?
Yeah, he played in 69. Funnily enough, he actually got sent off 69 grand final in the last minute. So
yeah, rightio.
69 grand final, yeah. Tom picked on his Ken McMullen, so he decided to take things into his own hands. But yeah, Dad always played for Sims. Paddy Yeo's the same. So
yeah. Well, your dad did. Your dad won a comp with Forbes, but he told me that at the Challenge Cup game, that in those days you sort of had to play where you worked, and I suppose the travel would have been too much. And
he was working with Wallace and McGee, so he was doing as a builder working over there in Forbes. So he had that year with Forbes there. He still speaks fondly of it, and whenever we play at Forbes, he always catches up with a few of the old blokes there.
Yeah, but the Sims Club now, it's I always say. The sign of a good club is how much it's hated, and obviously you guys are hated, and you just pay everyone $1 million, and that it must be just good to be involved with. You've coached the Reggies the last few years. You've just seen them. They just keep coming through, and that must be pretty special given that your dad played in that first comp and you got them family ties.
Yeah, it is. It's always special to run out there, especially with family. My grandmother always used to go to number one oval, even though she had four daughters, and would park the car in there and always watch Dubbo Sims play and that sort of thing. So it's always been special to play for the club, and it's just one big family there. I know people think we pay out all this money and all the rest of it, but I'd love to actually show them the figures and show them actually what does get paid out and not the rubbish that they actually come up with. And at the moment, we're sort of blessed. All those older people that I was talking about before you, Wes Marses and Josh Larges, Timmy Ryans, they've all got kids coming through St. John's now, Benny Williams. So we've got some great coaches in our juniors at St. John's.
Yeah.
So that's bringing everyone through for us. So it's just a flow-on effect for that. So really lucky in that way. So I always say it's a lot easier to coach a coach than run a coaching clinic and try and teach 100 kids. If you can teach a coach, they can pass on that message.
Yeah. I heard Benny Williams did like a forecast for the future, like a progression plan, like that was something like the NRL would be proud of.
So I think it's something the Sims Club are nervous about at the minute with so many kids they're going to have coming through is where they're going to get to play footy. So unfortunately, they want to play for Sims and we're sort of victims of our own success. They all want to play for Sims and you can't really tell people they can't play for the club.
No, that's the catch 22.
If they don't play for Sims, they stop playing footy. So I think a few people have got to bite their pride and sort of, we've got a few different things. Sims have got a few different things in the works at the moment and people are just going to have to run with it.
Yeah, because that's the future. What do you see the big problems at the minute with the game? I was devastated. We're down to seven teams now in Group 11, which isn't ideal. Luckily, them seven are strong. We need to keep the likes of Narromine and Wellington and Ningans. I think it comes down to being well run, the clubs. But what do you see as the big problem moving forward for the future of the game?
Well, I think administration's been our big issue. Hopefully under New South Wales Rugby League, I can honestly say I'm not at all sad to see CRL, some of the people especially involved in CRL, not there anymore. Just the way the game's run, we've got to come up with different solutions. We can't keep living in the past. Once upon a time, people used to work Monday to Friday and play their footy on the weekends. Now everyone's working Saturdays as well. You got one day off, if you got a family and then you want to go spend all day Sunday with your family, like, we've got to come up with ideas to keep people wanting to play football. We've got to make it family friendly. We've got to get rid of the swearing, got to get rid of the abuse in the crowds and different things like that. So I've got a young family and you want people to take their kids to footy. And if you can make your club a family orientated club where the partners feel involved, boyfriends and husbands are going to be actually allowed to play. So I think get the women involved, which they're doing with league tag, and look at different solutions. I still think eventually we're going to have to look at doing something with Group 10 and having a Tier 1 and a Tier 2. And
yep.
I think we've got to try, and it's hard for those smaller towns, but try and get as much Saturday afternoon football in as possible. So people can still have a Sunday with the family, or if it footy is on a Sunday, make it as family orientated as we possibly can. So I still, we probably outprice ourselves a little bit. I think we charge too much at the gate. Cut our gate fees back, and we're going to make the same money out of people in the canteen and at the bar. So
yeah,
we've got to look at different things like that. Put on different things for them. Get them through there.
Yeah, I definitely think
positive light. Get ourselves out in a positive light. I hate reading negative stuff about rugby league in the paper. There's so much good that even footy players out here do give up their time and do different things. Like I know Acker, Alex Renane, the Macquarie first grade coach, and a few others used to do the PCYC on a Friday night, the youth night, and things like that. That's the sort of thing we can even be talking about out here. Don't just talk about when something bad happens or someone abuses someone in a crowd or...
Yeah.
Let's look at the positives of the game.
It is a negative-focused game. Just let's picture, say we don't get any football happening this year, something that I've personally thought for a couple of years now, and it's a bit more pertinent to us over here because we've got the Woodbridge Cup sides around. Would the possibility of an under-19s comp rather than 18s, I think next year, I'm just dropping this hint, I suppose, next year would be a perfect year if we don't get any games, because then You know, you seem to lose a few after the 18s. We can lose them to 19s at Manildra, Trundle, Condo, Yugara, those sorts of places where they've got the under-19s comp. Is that something you think would be worth looking at?
Yeah, I think we're going to look at different options. I think the big thing for us is we need to be looking at them now and not looking at them in sort of February, March. We need to let the clubs know what way we're going. Just because it's been under-18s forever doesn't mean it has to stick to under-18s. And there's no reason a lot of those 19-year-old kids that are good enough to play first grade still couldn't play first grade.
Yeah, exactly. That's my thing. If they're good enough to go up, they go up. I've seen a definite change in it's here at Parks, and I know it's happening at Forbes, where the expectation when you finish under-18s isn't that you're going to go and play first grade now. You're back to back in my day, only the best of the best went from 18s to first grade, like your Peter Boones and those sort of blokes. So I think reserve grade's important, but can you see tackle women in the future? I enjoyed that day over there at Yugara where your daughter played. It surprised me. Just how fun that was to watch. Could you see that coming in?
I really enjoy it. I love the women's tackle footy because it's so... They haven't been overcoached yet.
Yeah.
So they sort of... They play off the cuff. It's just natural. Play what's in front of them and that sort of thing. The danger is, can you combine leg tag and the tackle? I don't think... Yeah. Like, I'd love to have tackle, but I don't want to lose all those leg tag women that you have also, so... It's just a battle that way.
Yeah, you'd have to have both.
Are you going to have enough for four tackle? If you have both, you're then putting a lot of expectation on the clubs. Like, it's another set of jumpers. It's another everything. You've got to find more coaches. You're just adding to the expense of things. So,
yeah.
I think the tackle's working really well at the moment, and I'd love to see it extended. So there's more of it. It's the same as I'd like to see. We still play rugby league over summer with our kids, our 10 and unders running it on a Friday night, especially the fact we've had no footy this year.
Yep.
So just different things. We just want kids playing footy. The kids love it. You don't hear kids going around bloody talking about rugby union or anything like that. And the ones that do, it's a very small minority. So we've got this massive, massive product. I think we just really need to capitalise on it.
Yeah, I know. Here in Parks, when the rugby union in the Central West, when they changed and dropped to the tier one, tier two, that near busted Parks rugby union last year. They struggled to get a side, and you know we had the likes of Dan Ryan coming and having a game of league. I'm a bit like you in that I was like, well, you know, let's be ruthless and. Really take advantage of this, and we probably let it slip a bit. But in saying that, I'm happy to see like Parks have got two sides now, first and reserve. But they are our competition, and
100%.
And you got who are on the management committee? Another Marty Cook's on there as well, I believe.
Yeah, Marty Cook's on there, so which is good. Like Marty's a very switch on person as well, especially financially and different things like that. So, and we're lucky Bobby Walsh has had a lot of experience in rugby league and that sort of thing. So I think we've got a good balance there on the board. I think so far so good. Everyone's getting along pretty well and we're all open to new ideas. And I guess for myself, it's just sort of finding my way and feeling my way through it a bit. Sort of first time I've done something like this. And
well, it's just good.
I don't want to upset the apple cart too much just yet, but I can see so many more things we can do. Like, I'd love for the group to run a big round robin at the start of the season. I think me and you have discussed it in the past.
Yeah.
Similar to the knockouts, the Aboriginal knockouts, doing different things like that. So we've just got to look at big picture things. So, and if it comes to it as a group, we've got to fork out the money to get it up and running. And it's about generating revenue for our clubs so we can have successful clubs. So, and that can help out, like, must be, I don't know how they do it sort of out at Narromine and Ningen and those smaller sort of towns generating sponsorship and things like that. So we, as a group, we need to help them out as much as we can. At Dubbo Sims, they're blessed. Damien Porter has looked after all the sponsorship, and he's sort of the professional approach and the work he's put into Dubbo Sims behind the scenes. He's sort of one of the unsung heroes of the club.
Yeah, yeah, and I think even the, like the sharing of ideas, they might be smaller towns and whatnot. I've noticed with you know, the Facebook pages and that now. Last year I did a bit for Parks, and you know, we can say, you can say to people, look, you know, if Tuesday night training's Nick Wilson's mowing services night, and we mention you, we can actually show you how many people watch that video, the demographics, and that's where, you know, you've got to go to be able to show people that value for money, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. I think Narromine's sort of led the way with social media a bit for Group 11 clubs, especially this year. They've sort of kept people interested in that, doing their bit, get on there and nominate your best team, and they get to mention their sponsors. So their sponsors are still getting a bit of value for money, although there's no footy at the moment. So I think Narromine's led the way social media-wise in that way. So, but I always love reading the old bush footy yarn stories and that sort of thing. So we might have to tee you up to do something on the Group 11 page and write a few of your stories on there.
Yeah, I see. Oh, well, the Group 11 page is doing a best ever team, which is I've noticed that over the past couple of days. I'm going to get into a bit more bush footy yarn stuff now. I've run out of things to do. It's getting a bit boring, so I've got plenty of time and plenty of people to ring and do. And now with the podcasts and. But
and that's the thing. I think keeping the interest involved in footy while we don't get to play it at the moment. Like, I love to read the interviews of the old blokes from the old days and different things that they've done. Your Bomber Foresters, your Ross McDermotts, and you don't get to sit down and have the beer with sort of people like that and hear about their stories. Greg Pillins.
Yeah, I've seen Ross played in the grand final here in '83 or '84 for Westside. Like, he was a big prop with long hair and. Geez, he had a good game.
You'd love to sort of read those sort of stories about their life and different things like that, their footy career, like Ross and Bomber going to Westside and leaving Macquarie and things like that. So,
yeah, no, there's plenty of history in the game, and hopefully plenty more to come. Well, I'm going to be cautious here because you said 15 minutes. We're at the 27 and a half minute mark, so. I don't want Monique to get upset. I think it's gone. There's no editing required. But thanks.
She was very worried I may say something that may offend people and upset people. So
yeah, she said that the other day. That's just people's perception. You should draw a few in. But it's good to have you on here tonight. Thanks for that. And. Good luck with the I'm going to call you commissioner. Good luck with the commission. It's it is good, and I know we've had a couple of, you know, text exchanges and whatnot where you throw ideas, and I suppose that's what we need, is the younger generation coming through, because there has to be a change there, and I think that's not just at a group level. You find it a lot at a club level where the same people are doing a lot of clubs because no one else will. I know we struggle in Parks to get numbers. We've got brilliant, like, all local juniors. Their dads have won comps here and whatnot, and you can't form five people on the management committee, and it's a struggle for the game. But
I think that's one thing probably we need to work on, is trying to get that flow. We seem to have all these people involved in junior league, and then they have this perception you go to senior league and you sit on your ass and you don't do anything to help. So that's probably one thing, like talking about different things we can do to improve the game. That's one big thing there, is getting that link between junior and senior clubs so you can get that support base.
I do have something I'll be throwing to Group 11 that I came across. Queensland Rugby League, they... at the start of each year, they hold a big conference for all clubs, and everyone goes and goes for 2 days. And over the course of the 2 days, there might be, you know, session two. If you're a secretary, you go to room four, and all secretaries go to room four, and they learn the job of being a secretary, what's required, what you do. Just little things like that I noticed when Spice had to take over at Parks, and just sort of not just a bit blind. We're all like, well, what do you do here? And you know, to have that bit of a, I suppose, a course or something. I know there's stuff on the Country Rugby League page, but
yeah, well, that's the challenge. People are going in blind, and that's why they won't take on these positions to help, because no one knows the full extent of what's involved, and they don't want to go in over their head.
Yeah, and the Dubbo Sims is one that I tell everyone, you know, they've broken it down. You know, the secretary is covered by four people. I think that's a major contributor to the success of Dubbo Sims. But, yeah, they're all things for the future. But good to – thanks for your time, and good luck with everything moving forward. And, yeah, hopefully we can get some footy going this year, and you can have your first full year in the commission with games.
With games of footy, that'd be nice. Hope July. July's the goal.
July's the goal.
Hope for July.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's hope and pray. Rightio then, naughty Nick.
Righto, thanks, Billy Joe.
No worries, I'll be talking to you.
See you, mate.
See ya. That was Nick Wilson.